So we're in a section of A Course in Miracles that is studying pretty heavily, having you inspect what you think about the other person. Having you check in on what's inside you, having to do with what's apparently out there. What part does your thoughts play in your experience of another person? Now, anybody who's been around the spiritual circuit enough and done a little studying has thought about the words of duality or plurality, dualism. Of Course in Miracles has a word for it too. It's called separation. Separation. Just a simple idea that you could be separate from what anything else, but certainly from the truth. In our daily lived lives, there's not enough witnesses to the truth. How can I say that so confidently? It's because in our daily lives as bodies and egos, there's so much chaos. It keeps shifting and changing. Can't we just love each other constantly? The only reason I'm having a bad day is because you're a problem in my life.
That's very familiar.
Right? And vice versa, right? If I wasn't so upset, you'd be fine. Get over it, Andrew, he says. What? Yay. Get over it. That's the world. That's what the world does. Yeah, I have no idea if
that's okay.
Transmitting. I plugged it in. Yeah. One thing we can do is I can turn this down a little bit.
There's a second one in there too, I think.
Okay.
So, one of the tricks of the ego that is hidden in plain sight is that there is another human being, a whole other human being that can challenge and take away your peace, or, if you play your cards right, give you love, make you happy, supply your very needs, says the ego. Is it's being done in the world of separation. So whenever we try to have something that even feels like union, you're doing it in a world of separation where things break apart, and if they're not broken apart yet, they're on their way. It's the law of the land. How many things had to die so you can live today? Even if you're vegetarians. It's the law of the land. All right, so here we are, right? Pretty dire picture, you know. But this is a spiritual meeting. What I like about Course in Miracles is that it always, every page is going to address where we think we are and give a direction of where we truly want to be. Shorthand, material to spiritual. Shorthand, from darkness, where we think we are, to light, where we want to be. So as we close off these last two paragraphs of chapter 19, looking at our brother, the ego will find ways to show you difficulty and darkness in the other and say it's out there. A Course in Miracles will have you know that it's in here, in you. You're one thought away from your happiness and joy.
You're simply manifesting it.
You are. You get what you seek. You get what you think. You receive what you give. It's so simple, but it's such a hard reach for somebody who ostensibly wants peace and happiness all the time. That's you, right? You want peace and happiness all the time. I mean, if you had a choice, I'll take it. And yet, difficulties come. And yet, your eyebrow is wrinkled. And yet, you swear at the people you just said you loved not too long ago. That chaos is to be solved. with what we do here. The chaos is completely unnecessary. You all know it. It's the only reason you're still here and why you might come back. Because you know that it's you that is the problem and not the world. The world is the world it's always been. But it's your thoughts that have been giving you difficulties. Can I please stop thinking that way? You can. That's what we do here. We've got a big book. Guide us through it. And tonight, we're looking at the aspect that is your brother. Sometimes we affectionately refer to the difficult ones as the ass-holy ones. So you know who we're talking about. Tonight I want you to think about this one word for our short meditation. So, really, new girl, what we do is a short meditation in the beginning, take it or leave it. We'll chat about it a bit. We'll jump into wherever we left off the previous week. Goes on till 9 o'clock. We stand up, hold hands, say a few nice words. Out the door we go. It's a free meeting, but contributions are welcome. The meeting is recorded, and the recordings are available on my website for free. We have copies of books and reading glasses in the corner. And you can say anything you want, but my job is to put it back in the book. Welcome. So for the next few minutes, I would like you to think about this very simple word. Gift. Give. Give. Let's think about that for a few minutes. It's kind of personal, really, when you give. When you give. Is it not a bit of an extension of you when you give? It's pretty personal. David W., you ready?
Yeah.
What's something you have to have? Tell me something you have to have in order to give, or just tell me what it means to give.
It's like forgiveness.
Yeah?
And you get salvation from it. And all kind of fits right in there. It's a miracle.
So it's a shift.
It's like the forgiveness, really, the kind of the key I'm finding out. Mm-hmm. As you keep doing that, it just fits. Mm-hmm.
So it's natural when it is. It's natural.
Yeah.
Stefan, what does it mean to give? Or what do you have to give?
Well, I've been given truly, freely, love and peace and joy and truth, and that's what I can share.
Covered all the bases there.
Sounds like a nice guy. I want to hang out with him more often. Now I want to hang out with him more often. Good. You're only interested in giving the good stuff.
It's a beautiful thing to be given that and then to be informed. You can give these because they're yours.
Yes.
They were truly given. And of these things, you give truly and you don't lose anything. In fact, you get more. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing thing that I've learned here.
Uh-huh. As you give it, you receive it?
And the quality of it and the amount of it.
And they're invisible. That's another thing we learn here. The only things worthwhile to give, according to the Course in Miracles and the Manual for Teachers, which you can read anytime, the back of the book, if you like this, 100 pages, Manual for Teachers, go straight to the definitions. That the only things worth giving are invisible. Ha! It's the exact opposite of the ego in the world. I want those diamonds to be real. Ha! I hope there's more chocolate where that came from. I mean, if you really love me, there is. You know, so says the world. But Course in Miracles says, no, the stuff you really want is honesty. You want trust. You want gentleness, really. That's nice. How about some joy? How about being around somebody who is defenseless? They don't even know what defense is. They never take a grudge and they never make a guilt statement. I want to hang out with that person. How about patience? It's invisible, patience, really. Honestly, it really is invisible. Oh my God, it's so nice. It's so nice. How about open-mindedness? Stephen, something I'd like to talk to you about. A little uncomfortable, but I need you to know something. God, I hope he's open-minded. I won't know. It's invisible. But if we have a holy relationship, it's all there ready to go. A sharing is ready to happen. Faithfulness. Well, these things are all invisible. But as you give them, they grow. They're bigger as you give them away. It's fantastic truth. Thank you. New girl? I forgot your name.
Linda.
Old new girl. giving, there's so many different layers to this. Giving, you know, I was thinking the gifts, and there are many different layers and things, but what came to my mind, because there's material, there's you know, giving encompasses almost everything. But I think for me, what it brought to mind is I think the best and the most wonderful thing we can get is our presence. When we're with someone or we're sharing, we need to be present.
Yeah.
And so many times we have so many distractions.
Yes.
Or such as devices, things where life becomes kind of fragmented, and rather than the unity of people being together and actually looking into each other's eyes and talking or sharing. So I would say for me, presence, being...
What a quality of gift when it's given present. You're present, you show up, you're actually... Whatever it is that you're giving, it's done present, involved.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Nice. Yeah, it's like the difference between, you know, giving even a card versus, you know, $5. Mm-hmm. It's nice, but one's a little more present.
Mm-hmm.
Something's written in there. Hey, enjoyed seeing you on the beach the other day. I really like your smile. Bridget. What's it take to give? What do you have to give? Or what is giving? You take your pick.
Well, a lot of the... it's easier for me to give than maybe receive. I kind of get... it must be the ego for suspicious of you give, you're going to receive, or... Someone's not going to receive it, and I kind of just—it's not almost pleasant to do that, because it's always that expectation.
Yes, my dear.
Meeting those expectations of giving or receiving.
Yes.
It just is like, it is a beautiful thing to receive a hug or give a hug, and if that would be it, that would be.
Yes.
But it's relearning how to give for myself and then receiving and receiving that gift of a smile.
Yeah.
Or
It looks like we need to start with you is receiving the ability to give. Giving freely with no expectation of return. You don't care what the hell they think about what you just did. You just wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
That freedom starts. That's your next step. Yes. Freely giving, without attachment. Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about this before, that love is such a difficult bar. Really, the word love? Oh, it's loaded! And according to Course in Miracles, if the ego is counseling you, love is extremely expensive. Because if you finally say the words, I love you. When you cross that barrier in the special relationship, suddenly there's a contract. That means I won't catch you kissing somebody else on the street, maybe, because we're sort of dating, aren't we? Yes. Or oh no, I can't kiss her because do I have to say it back? right away? Can I say it like right away? Or just like, can I do it late? The contract and the ego, the world of the ego, love is so expensive. But a gift, a honest, present gift, like the word thank you. When I say thank you, I'm actually, I've received something of value from you and I'm giving back in a non-committal way. Here's a giving and receiving exchange. It's not seen as expensive or committal. It's just thank you. But it's actually the same model of love. As you give, you receive. You're receiving, you give. The ego's messed it all up, and it's got contracts all over the place. Expenses. Chapter 16 of this book closes out, and it says, you know, you're actually really afraid to truly love in the same way you're afraid to honestly communicate. It's talking about special relationships in that whole chapter. And it says the reason why is because if you really spoke your truth, then they would know how weak you are in some places, and they would probably abuse it. So you're afraid to speak the truth. Well, that's not love. And now you're hiding with somebody with whom you wish you were closer. It says, wow, but you have love backwards. Do you realize that if you honestly communicated, they would know it? If you didn't hold back, they would know you were splayed out, vulnerable, and they would put their weapons down? And they might be a little more gentle with you because you were not in an attacking mode. You're actually in a really honest, trusting mode if you really, really do that. Oh, and that invites compassion and it invites love. But there's this barrier, there's this cost that the world shows us. If you're vulnerable, you're going to get hurt. So that's our challenge, isn't it? Thank you. Beautifully said. We all share this. Beautifully said. Kenny, what's it take to give?
Okay. I got something that I wanted to give you.
Oh, whoa!
And I think you really like it. You really want it.
Oh, really?
We've been wearing one of these for a long, long time. They're 150 years old.
Really?
Yeah. These old railroads.
Whoa!
Spikes.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
He's the washer.
Oh, excellent.
And a plate.
Yes. I'm going to build my railroad. I'm going to fix it.
These are really nice star darts.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
There's more to come. So then we see we don't know whether you're going to like them or not. And do you care about me? And do I be ashamed that I did this?
I wish I could work up a tear for you right now. Just show the appreciation. Thank you, Kenny.
Yeah.
He knows I live next to an old abandoned railroad tunnel up in the mountains. And so I am so mystified by the railroad tracks in that whole era. So he knows he's got my number.
That's cool. It's from the Spreckles Bridge out in Monterey from the 1800s. Yeah. Our properties, they used it. These guys tore down the bridge and they dumped them on our property.
Nice.
They're a gift.
One man's trash, another man's treasure.
The circle.
So what did you have to have in order to give me this gift?
What did I have to do?
How did that happen? I now have a railroad spike from the 1800s. A real railroad spike.
Yes. There was probably a Chinaman who nailed it.
About the same thing, unfortunately.
They were called Chinamen.
What did it take for you to be able to give me these things?
Well, it didn't take very long because I thought it would really be fun to do that. And the ego said, he's not going to like it.
Bunch of metal, right? Rusty, old rusty metal. Thank you.
Yeah.
David?
Okay, well, what came into my mind was giving from the heart and kind of like a spark and not going into my mind to think about what it was. It would just be compassionate giving from the heart.
Oh, that word compassionate is in there, which is very to be truly present. You have to be compassionate, understanding of what's happening. It's and at the heart better than the mind for sure. That's so much more present.
I think if you think with your heart that you have the intentions come along with it.
Yes.
That you don't have to. Yes. What am I going to do? I mean, yeah.
Yes.
It maybe you do take some time, but it does come through the heart, the intentions as well.
Yeah.
But I think you have to have some kind of intention. Maybe it just happens instantaneously.
Yes. Yes. Even just a willingness, without knowing the right words, without knowing how to do it, but the full willingness to give from the heart. And this is why I say when you do that, it's very disarming. It is honest communication. It's a beautiful thing. It's very rare in this world. Because we're so worried about the outcome. We're so messed up with what's going to happen after. Did I do the right thing? Was I accurate? Oh my God. What about from the heart honesty? I really want you to have this.
Have something or...
What? Maybe it's to have trust in yourself. I really want you to trust yourself. I trust you. It's invisible. It's confidence, compassion. If you tell me your willingness is to come from the heart, I want you to come from the heart. And I want you to not worry about the outcome ever. That's invisible. I would like that for everybody. Stephen.
What Stephen said. Present. It really does occur to me, like, at least for my personal experience, like there's a spectrum of giving and gift. And when I'm in the flow, when I'm in the groove, then I'm not there. There's no conditions. It's really being present to other people and providing for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the version where, you know, and just on the whole spectrum of it starting to show up conditionally. And on the days where I'm really present to spirit, and that's what seems to be moving things, then it's effortless. There's no conditions. People get it. People don't get it. Whatever.
What do you have to have in order to give? What has to be there? What kind of condition is in your mind?
Oh, God, I know. I have such a hard time.
I'm really impressed in it, but I know. And this is not necessarily an easy question.
Oh.
It's very personal.
I don't know. I'm just... It's completely...
Can you give if you have nothing?
Well, yeah.
What if you believe in nothing?
Well, yeah.
You're completely empty.
That's the best spot to be.
But spoken as a true Zen Buddhist.
I think that is in part and parcel is the space where true giving occurs.
Uh-huh.
When I've disappeared, it's got nothing to do with me.
Uh-huh.
I'm either the vessel or the channel. Or
a channel for what?
No, for
the vessel
Spirit.
For what?
For Holy Spirit.
Oh, for Holy Spirit. Oh, how nice is that? That's some of the stuff you were talking about? A little Holy Spirit power coming through? Yeah. Julie, what's it take?
I'm a little afraid to go now.
You want to hold one of my railroad spikes? It's very calming.
Well, same wavelength, Linda, because what was really rising up for me was presence. Both as what you need to have to give truly, in Stefan's way, or just, you know, if you just like haphazardly like say, oh, here's a candy bar, that's not really giving. And I'm not talking about the fact that it's a candy bar, but it takes presence to truly give, I think.
Uh-huh.
But also presence as the gift itself. Uh-huh. And, you know,
as the gift. Presence as mm-hmm. the gift. Thank mm-hmm. you very much.
My dad, he had a major surgery for cancer, and I was home, and he was having a moment of vulnerability and sadness around his own mortality, mm-hmm. and kind of started crying, and then swiftly went into the bedroom to sort of hide out, and I waited, I gave him some space, but then I. Just knocked on the door and I said, well, can I come in? And he said, why? And I said, well, when I was a kid, you always came and came to my room when I was upset, and now it's my turn to return the favor. And so I went in, and it was like, there's no right answer, you just get present. And it was such an intimate, beautiful moment of just laying there, hand on the shoulder, silence, and he opened up, and then he went quiet, and just, it was just, that is the, for me, I'm just with Linda, that is the gift, and it's also the only way to give for me.
So where's the gift?
Yeah.
And to put an example, what she said, yeah. being the gift, having yes. and being, but yes. being the gift, that's very beautiful.
So there's a dimension to the presence, that you have to have. To recognize that your presence, your compassion, your understanding, your open-mindedness in that situation is the invisible gift.
Do we have to be peaceful when we give?
Oh, well, if you're not peaceful, you'll still be giving. If you're really angry, you will be giving. You will be giving that. Is that right?
Well, I find to be present, I kind of have to be peaceful.
Did I
to really be present, I need to be peaceful.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to have you recognize there's no neutral. You're either peaceful or...
So this is the question. Fear. It's not 99% peaceful. It doesn't work that way.
That's correct. Presence is a
You're
very...
You're reminded of that on a regular basis.
Presence is a very, very personal... immediate, if it's real presence or that's you're talking about and you're talking about, it's completely undefended.
But can't you be like authentically angry?
Yes.
And present to that?
Absolutely.
But as opposed to being sort of unconscious about it.
No, that's right. And you will be giving that. That will be your gift. Anger and fear and attack. Mark, what do you have to have in order to give?
Well, okay, so you're like transferring or sharing something that's of value to you. And then you also have to have a desire to connect that to the other person.
Wow.
So, if you're giving something, what for?
Yes, what?
What for? Why are you doing that?
Yes.
So that's the... that's the answer to what a gift, why you're giving, or what is a gift.
Yes.
Is what for.
Yeah. There's a commitment involved.
Yeah.
A commitment involved of something that you value, and then a willful transfer of some sort, even if it's only a silent blessing, mm-hmm. it has to happen.
And in a spiritual sense, I think it requires like an openness and possibly vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So when you're giving something, it's truly an act of like freedom in a sense. You're freely giving something.
Yeah.
And
that's honest giving.
Yeah.
It's really free.
But we're talking about giving in a spiritual sense, because there's giving. It's like I give you this candy bar, right?
Uh huh.
Not spiritual, could be, but
yeah.
usually,
yeah.
I give the dog my dirty sock.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I gave it to the dog.
Yeah. There might be a passion and a presence and a compassion for the dog. He loves your dirty socks, and you finally gave him one.
Right.
Usually you're trying to get him back from him, but this time you gave him one.
Right.
A little love exchange happens there as he rips the thing up. And you're both free.
Yeah. But in talking about it, I don't know, maybe it's connected. I don't know about a lot about this, but maybe connected to the principle of transference.
Yes. Yes, yes.
You know, you're transferring something to somebody.
Yes.
You know, something that you hold valuable, whether it be a principle or...
Yes. Now watch his words. You hold it valuable. And because you transfer it does not make it less valuable, it makes it more valuable.
Maybe.
It's even a proof to you that it is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've designed to share it with somebody else.
Yeah, right. You elevate it.
You elevated it.
Yeah.
Now, that's making, whatever this is,
mm-hmm.
whether it's patience or $1,000 or one of your paintings,
mm-hmm.
that item has been committed now to be shared, mm-hmm. raising it both in you and in the other person, perhaps.
Yeah.
But this is a point I want to surface in all of this discussion. Of the rate of the, when you commit to this giving, you're actually valuing this thing now at a new level.
Right.
Well, that can be good or bad.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carol, what is this giving?
Blessing was a word that came to me. That's what you're really doing.
Yeah. Ah. Blessing.
Yes. And extending. Nice. And extension.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Giving a blessing. And it's something we value. It's usually a really good thing. The biggest thing, personally, for your spiritual experience is that you feel like giving. You feel like it.
More than feel like it, it's super important to be able to like, I have something that I really appreciate, to be able to give it to somebody else.
Wow, can extend?
Like, I mean, that's like life's theme. I don't wow. really get it. And now I have a way, as opposed to just being frustrated as a younger person, like, how do I do this? It's like, they're not getting it. No matter how much I give it to them, and then life becomes different.
There is a communication in this giving. Kenny communicated with me.
This is cool.
This is a communication that's between cool. us. Hey, one of the other guys wants one of my railroad spikes. It's a commitment. And it's a blessing. That's how it happens. What happens? What actually happens? In giving is a blessing. Beautiful. Masako, what is this giving?
For me, it's a transformation from sight of the world to vision.
Mm.
And the purpose of that is so that my mind and my body can extend, like Carol said, extend the love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, funny thing about love for me is that I embody that it is what I am, and at the same time, I have no control over it, and I don't take ownership of it.
Mm-hmm.
It flows.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an energy, it has an intelligence. Where it goes is no longer my business. It is my business,
yes.
though, to get to that vision. So
yeah.
the thing, the mystery,
yeah.
can extend.
Can flow. Don't get in the way with your head. This is what David was saying. He says, you know, just come from the heart and stay in the heart. Just come honestly from the heart. And let the presence do the work. And then the presence just magically does just what's needed. The flow, I like that. Yeah, giving is a flow. Beautiful. You girl.
What came to mind for me was first the egos, we have to be enough.
Huh.
Right? So really? That is the struggle, that idea of scarcity and inadequacy.
Yes.
And kind of saying what you, to get over that struggle of enough and to work on being the source, and like you said, through the flow, be the source of what you think you're missing or need to get, and to be able to kind of catch yourself and be able to work on being that source.
To break away from the gravity of lack.
Yes.
Lack has a gravity. And the closer you get to something with gravity, you get sucked in. And the further you can get from it, the more free you are. And then if the other side is, say, abundance, abundance has a gravity.
Yeah.
Maybe if you don't have a whole lot of what somebody else can give, but you have what you can give. Maybe all you can give is trust. Honesty. They're beautiful. Valuable forever. It has a gravity. And a commitment. Olivia.
I kind of have to continue with flow. I think give is our essence. It doesn't take anything to give when there's nothing in the way, and the only thing that gets in the way is ego.
Mm-hmm.
When we attach value to how much it means to us, that's our ego.
Mm. Wow. We attach value to how much it means to us and how much it may or may not mean to the other.
That's all
ego getting in the way.
Totally our essence. It's a flow, and it's like a full circle, like it bounces back.
Yes.
I thought about Pong, the old TV, like bonk, bonk, because it just... It inevitably always comes back if it is true giving.
Yes. Instantly it does. Maybe you're just giving a blessing of gentleness in a difficult situation where anger is about to erupt any minute. And you have that ability. Give that. Who gets it first? You get it first. You're thinking gentleness. I want to remind you it's invisible. Mm-hmm. Everybody, the things most worthy of giving are invisible. Well, I did say it's a spiritual meeting. It's not the manifesting meeting. Manifest the Mercedes meeting. Brother John?
Well, I want to take a little different tack here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's thinking about giving us a wonderful, trying to ennoble it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think all giving is giving to get, actually.
Mm.
Whether or not you think you're supplying somebody's need,
mm-hmm.
well, you're giving that somebody's something to supply that need.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think that you should give somebody something to supply that need,
mm-hmm.
which means you're reaffirming your own belief that you see outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting your satisfaction, and you're performing an act which verifies and confirms your commitment to what you believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it will be exactly that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you you give because you think you need to give.
Hmm.
So you actually
yes. Okay, let's stay with that sentence there. You give because you think you need to give. Now that's very logical and true, and that is the experience, especially it's experience in the world when say it's tax time. You have to give some money to the taxes because the bill says you do this or we're going to take your house. I give because I think I need to give. Right? Now, let's keep that exact same sentence and move it now to the spiritual experience. Is there a spiritual experience where you give because you think you need to give?
No.
Is there a spiritual experience when you have no other choice but to give? Mr. Hart? Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is.
I need to give because I need to receive somewhere in there.
I want to give you the... What if you just want to? What if you can't help it?
Yeah, because you want to.
Let me give you an example. Laughter. When you've got the giggles going and you can't quite hold it, it won't stay in the body. It's coming out. And here it comes. Laughter just erupts. You're going to give now.
So the higher form of giving is to be giving to share what you have.
Thank you.
Sharing the blessings of what you think you have, what you believe you have.
You know you have.
Know you have.
And that's what I'm after. What you have to have in order to give is you have to have some knowledge that you have something to give.
Well, once you know that...
The void is empty.
Once you know that, you can't help but give.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And once I give, I know what I have.
And now the circle's complete. Mm-hmm. It has returned.
That's what I was thinking, because sometimes it's like, where did that come from?
Yes.
And while it clearly showed up as a gift for the other person, it's like a surprise that, wow, it's a gift for me too.
He gave a compassionate compliment to somebody that he barely knew. Where did that come from? That beautiful moment completes the circle.
It's like a heroic act, you know, is a true giving of something, because a person who's like does like something heroic, like save somebody from a fire, mm-hmm. sees that thing happening and they have an emotional or a human response to that, mm-hmm. and they just act.
Yes.
So without thinking, so they dive in there and they do something that, you know, maybe gives life to that other person because they saw that that was what was necessary to do.
Yes, and there was that circumstance, we've all been in it. There's no thought process. There is a choiceless choice. And you jump right in and save or stop or go.
Right.
A choiceless choice.
A choiceless choice, because there actually is a movement. But because of what he is, he discovers what he is in that moment as he jumps in to save the kid from going into the street. There is a choice being made there, but it was not a choice you would ever... there's no time to make the choice.
Or a choice from a different level.
From a different level, from your core being. From your being.
Yeah.
Can't stand to see a kid get hit by a car, so I'm going to jump in and save that kid.
Well, as our truest selves, I think I'm aligned with what you said. It's more an expression, it's a natural expression. It's not contrived, it's not thought up, it's a presence to our essential nature.
Yes.
As human beings.
Yeah. Yes.
In the purest sense.
Yes.
That without effort, without anything other than merely just being not distracted entirely by the ego mind, that our nature is giving.
Yes.
That's why we're in it together.
Yes. Yes, the free nature is giving and sharing. That's and sharing. It's the free nature. The constricted nature puts conditions and worries about the outcome and so forth, and that's just the way of the ego. We're here to let go of that. Yes, beautifully said. Thank you.
Well, I say that, and I'm also present to how conditional a lot of my giving is. Or I'll give, and I'll give, and I feel like in that moment it's from the heart, and then all of a sudden there's some twist at the other end, and it's like, well, fuck you. I'm not taking any more. So, you know, it's really...
Listen, don't doubt. Now, I want to take that example. Thank you. Because this happens to all of us. And what we have to do is preserve... In that transaction you just explained, where you started in all honest, everything was going great, and it didn't go great, and you want to take some of it back. Ego's all over that.
Oh, yeah.
The Holy Spirit would have you say, keep the gift. Fight for what you love, not for what you hate. What you hate is going to show up in this world constantly. That's the ego's jumping in. The motivation is what you love. Your willingness to get into a situation where you can find a problem was because you loved, because you wanted goodness, safety, happiness, a security, sharing. All of these are reasons why you might get into a situation, a relationship, a commitment, a job, who knows.
But you have the right to pull back if you wish.
Yes.
If you're feeling your ego or not, probably ego, but if you're feeling doormat-ish.
Yes. You bet. Nowhere in the books does it say you have to be a doormat. That's right. Now, that pullback.
With this then. Because you're also saying that if I want to pull back, it's more of an ego-driven thing.
Yes. Now, the pullback is to be separated from the push-in.
Okay.
This is how you save what the Course in Miracles calls your creations. And all your creations are saved for you. Because these are acts of love. Your first desire to commit to give was an act of joining. A very rare thing in this world to honestly want to share and to give. But after a while, the world, after all, is the world. And it's going to come down and go to shit and start to cost, and you want to pulse back and start to protect your vulnerable self.
I'm not trying to give back the gift or take back the gift.
Yes.
I'm just, at some point, I'm done.
Yes.
And then...
Yes.
I mean, a black hole is a black hole.
Yes. And the world is the world.
Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't change the fact that I want to give.
That's the point. That's the point. Even though the gift, after some time, fell flat and sort of cost a lot, or was rejected, or any way you want to paint it, you had to pull back and get out of the situation you were going so gladly into just a year ago.
There's a fact of being unhealthy, and that's fair, that's valid.
Yes.
I'm still
wanting
to give, I'm still wanting to do things,
but
some things are unhealthy, and there's
absolutely
no reason why I should keep doing
that. My point in your comment is to separate the giving from the taking back yourself, or your time, or your commitment. They are two different things.
Oh, help me.
Okay? The idea that you would want to give is the closest thing we're going to find to true love here in this world.
And the rest doesn't matter.
The rest doesn't matter, and it will all fail eventually.
And if you look at it, you'll find that what we're talking about, the problem, is in the past.
Yes.
And I'm not better than anybody.
Yes.
Not, but this is to go, I'm going to put forth some positivity, some solution, something like that.
Yes.
Anything that's not that doesn't have anything to do with what I'm doing.
Yes.
There's no opposition to love.
Yes.
There is no opposition to this giving.
Yes.
There is no power at all that can say, this doesn't happen.
Yes.
If whatever happened doesn't turn out the way you want, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because that was the correct action to take.
Correct. I just want to remind you that this world has a gravity of separation and destruction, disease, and death. I'm going to break it to you very gently. You're all going to die.
You already have.
I already did.
Cool.
All right.
You're all going to die. Everybody's going to die.
So the world would twist us, our caring.
Yes.
The world gets twist our caring, our compassion in some level.
Yes, yes.
These things can be like twisted to us.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And because when it seems like our good qualities get used against us, you can feel that way in the world.
Uh-huh.
We can get defensive and fear.
Uh-huh.
And hey, it's honest work to go to just see that as being an illusion that's real for me or whatever.
I hope everybody takes away tonight to separate the giving from the taking back, as you've been describing. There is an honest emotion, even if it's guarded so carefully, the desire to give. The willingness to commit, the desire to give, no matter where it goes. This is the whole Buddhism about the attachment is where the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where it begins. It's where you think it's going to end. That's the problem. Where it begins is always natural.
And then perception can step in.
Yes. Perception and the ego and time. And, you know, thanks for giving, but it just wasn't enough. In fact, you gave me false hope because you said you were going to give. And now I found out you only have enough for half. So thanks a lot.
What were you thinking?
Don't you know how much it takes to do this? Oh no, I'm so sorry that I gave. I want everybody to separate out and understand and keep your gift always. This is where you can find some beauty in the world. And don't let the world's gravity take away from you your gift.
It didn't go anywhere.
It was honest. It was honest. You went in honestly.
You didn't lose anything.
You tried.
But I would also, yes? So I would, just because of your example, I would also say that if talking in form helps right now, there's also, there can be different giving in that situation, right? So by making a choice that is affording yourself more love,
mm-hmm.
self-love,
mm-hmm.
that is giving mm-hmm. for yourself. So, mm-hmm. and there's tough love of parents mm-hmm. where you say no, and that doesn't mean that it wasn't giving.
Mm-hmm.
So taking back is something different. It's maybe holding on to that there's a problem. But to actually just make a different choice about a relationship or a problem, to just make a different choice isn't necessarily taking back, because you may be giving in some other way to yourself.
You're sure giving honesty.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
So it's taking back would actually be more like what we do all the time, where we just like harbor the issue instead of mm-hmm. letting it be released. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I would see it. Right. Then there's the gift is like revoked, or you know, because we're not free and they're not free.
Yeah, Ms. Huckle.
Good question. You know, the last time I was here, you asked the same question. Okay.
Apparently I'm stuck on that.
It's good. You know why? Because the idea, the concept, the practice of love is probably the most difficult thing for our human part to really understand. So for me, what it sounds like when you said... I don't remember what you said, but then Andrew interrupted by saying you have to distinguish the idea that love is about giving, and receiving is about it's having expectation, is to have the agenda. You're looking for something back from your giving.
I can see that.
Okay.
But on this case, which is probably the same thing, I'm not really sure. Let's give you a concrete example, hypothetical. So, and everyone's had this. I know everyone's had this, because we live in the same world. So, say a friend of yours, or another friend of yours, or whoever, needs help. Mm-hmm. Of course you're going to give help.
Mm-hmm.
And they need help. Need help. Mm-hmm. Need help. Need help. Need help. So... you try to steer them to like, hey, you can do these things, three things, and that would be helpful. Mm-hmm. You can take some matters in your own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And they still need help. They still need help. After a while, it's like, you just don't want to help anymore because it's mm-hmm. so draining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still giving, not to get so much in return, because I don't really care. I mean, I don't care. It's just like, yeah, I'll help you out. No problem.
Yeah.
But after a while, it's like,
you have to figure this out.
I mean, but is that a bad thing? Is that a wrong thing?
No, it goes back to what does it take? What do you have to have in order to give?
I want to do it.
You want to do it?
Or I don't want to do it.
You have, that in this case, you have the time to do it, the patience to do it, the wherewithal to do it.
Does it require somebody wanting to receive it?
No, it doesn't. And that's where I want you to make sure you keep that your gift is a gift first to you, because mm-hmm. you're always going to live your life through your next thought, and your thought was to give. Now, it turns out that this person was a real taker and way beyond what she was capable of doing. She's not trained enough. She's not enough time. She has not enough...
We're done.
Similarity. They're done.
We're done.
But do not allow the gift to disappear.
Oh, no.
Right?
No. I think what you're saying, Andrew, is that... And thank you for clarifying
oh, sure.
what you were talking about, because that was really important. So, you know, being exhausted and not taking care of yourself while you're supporting your friend,
mm-hmm.
I think it's really important that you take care of yourself and whatever you need. The most important thing in that is that you're able to still stay emotionally connected, spiritually connected with that person when you're sending healing or love, maybe not in those terms, instead of, I'm done.
We're done helping.
I'm done. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wish you the best, but we're done helping. Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. My question to you is that correct?
Yes. You cannot give what you do not have.
It's not incorrect.
Not incorrect.
No.
In other words, you end up you end up giving your honesty.
So the world would bring in a form, guilt, sacrifice.
Yes.
And we're steeped in it.
And it should have and could have tried harder, would have. The world will do all of that.
Yes.
That's just not honest. You know what her honesty is? We're done. She's like,
If you keep giving to somebody and they keep taking, then you're at a certain point you're not giving anymore.
Yeah, right? It's not working.
That you intended to to provide that person, they're not getting it.
That's it.
And Julie said it, saying that's enough might be more giving.
Yes, it's certainly
you
honest.
That's the correct.
Absolutely.
You can also be gentle and kind. Especially.
Because only honesty is a key attribute of one who is awakening.
Okay.
No hiding, no people pleasing, it's over. If you want to spiritually awaken, you must no longer be people pleasing. That is the world of the ego, and it sucks you into a darkness and a lie. So honesty is really important, no matter what the outcome.
There's like a fine line between giving and helping is not giving.
Yes.
Mm.
You know?
Well, how concerned am I about my image in this world?
Yep.
A bit.
Yep.
I'm pretty concerned.
Not
I'm pretty good. If you're not, I'm still a little
I'm too tired, dude.
Well, then you've been giving a lot. I can honor. I'm trying to honor what you're saying, and I'm saying, man, I get start worrying about my reputation, the image, because that's me, not you.
Yeah.
As a receiver, uh-huh. What a gift to know that you're only giving me what you feel free and loving to give. And that you're not giving so much that now I feel like I'm taking from you. Like, that is a gift.
Do you feel that, though?
I do. Like, I've gone through this with, like, my mother. Like, I want to know when she's giving to me, she's not sacrificing. That she is genuinely giving me what she feels loving to give. Yes. And then that way I can receive it without guilt, without any...
Without guilt! So
there's another side to it.
There's honesty on both sides. And I was like, what a gift if we all just honestly only gave each other what we were comfortable and capable and loving doing, then you could just trust and accept it.
She said the T word. Trust.
So it's the whole honesty thing. That's okay. I didn't think of it the other side of way. Oh,
beautiful.
So it's the opposite of the world.
Okay, you can stay.
You can stay.
I think there's something to be said for stepping back. You're giving yourself love and nourishment, and you're also giving them the gift of themselves to figure it out. Yeah. They're giving them a choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're no longer going to help them. Sometimes people need to help themselves. They can go find someone else to suck the life out of. They're not going to. And that can be a gift.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not talking money or
right.
Like, I'm just talking about it's like
energy.
Emotional. It's like, good Lord. Energy.
Yeah. Yes. you're teaching who you are.
You are.
Right? Mm. And with honesty, it's going to.
You'll be teaching and learning. With dishonesty, you'll learn to hate yourself.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Everybody turn to page 424 in the text. 424.
Which one is 424?
424 in the text. Okay, what this is talking about is the before we start paragraph 20, the gift that we're giving here to your brother is the gift of heaven. Heaven in A Course in Miracles is a shorthand term for understanding. Not a place in the clouds where there's a harp for everybody and they're all tuned perfectly. Just, and you already know how to play it even there out of one lesson. That's not heaven. No, it's much, much more personal than that. It's much, much more usable than that. Heaven is understanding. Heaven is finally knowing. Because being in a body, we're in a place where we are to not know and struggle to find out the truth. That's what we're doing on Earth in this dream of separation. Heaven would be understanding. How comfortable is that? That would be nice. The end of chaos. Nice. Okay, so that's the gift we're talking about as we enter paragraph 20, which David W. is going to read for us.
Okay. Think carefully how you would look upon the giver of this gift. For as you look on him, so will the gift itself appear to be, as he is seen as either the giver of guilt or of salvation. So will his offering be seen and so received. The crucified give pain because they are in pain, but the redeemed give joy because they have been healed of pain. Everyone gives as he receives, but he must choose what it will be that he receives.
Mm-hmm. Would you please read that sentence again, yeah, just for clarity?
Everyone gives as he receives, but he must choose what it will be that he receives.
Oh, man.
And he will recognize his choice by what he gives and what is given him. Nor is it given anything in hell or heaven to interfere with his decision.
Okay. So, I just want to focus on paragraph, sentence 5. Everyone gives as he receives, but he must choose what it will be that he receives.
So,
and the next sentence basically repeats that concept.
That's great. I'm giving, but yeah, I have to choose what I'm receiving?
Yes.
Okay. By what you give.
By what I give.
By what you gave. And also, you have to be willing to see that what you, if you're giving
the bounce back.
The bounce back.
So there's an intended outcome?
No, there is a welcoming that you are honest. When you give, if you give from your heart, you give your compassion from your heart, you will receive from your heart. If you give with a condition that there has to be a certain outcome or a question that wasn't even honestly given. If anything is there but a complete willingness to give, the ego's got you. And then you'll have to decide what it is you got back. You'll have to decide if she was really honestly saying thank you. What does it mean when they say thank you but the eyebrow shoots up? Do I trust that? No. See, that's the ego.
Well, I don't understand though, but so that you're saying that you're choosing what you're giving, because if you're giving openly,
yes,
without any condition,
yes,
that's a choice that you're making to do that.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so then how do you choose what it is that you're receiving from that? How does that work?
By the gift.
I don't get it.
If I tell lies, I'll get lies.
Okay.
Because I will choose.
And also by your willingness to let your Holy Spirit do the interpreting. If you're still at the level, okay, now, two levels now. One level is you understand the circle, and there's only giving, and that's it. The other is there's giving and receiving is still active in your world, mm-hmm, and something is coming back. And that's fine, because that's the way we live until we don't. In that case, where you actually are waiting for something to come back, you will decide what it is. You will perceive and you will judge whether this person is giving you a gift of that's loving and usable and honesty, or whether it's some kind of attack.
Because we give everything, we see all the meaning it has.
Amen. Lesson number two.
That's it.
And you look at, like, you receive railroad ties.
Yes.
You could perceive that as old junk.
Yes.
Or you could decide to receive that as love and something you cared and paid attention.
Yes.
It's the same material gift, but your perception is how you decide what,
okay,
you receive.
So
that's it.
So the person, you give something to somebody with an open heart, yes. That person spits on it.
Spits on it. Throws it back.
That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
So you, in that moment, you choose to maybe have compassion for that person for not being open to the gift that you're giving them.
Yes. And to understand that they are calling for the love that you are trying to give.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it's surfaced. Now it's surfaced. Yeah, it's a dynamic. It's a dynamic.
To take Mark's analogy.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm giving out love.
Yes.
Great. Peachy keen. Everything's great.
Yes.
I get spit on return.
Yes.
And I should be going, okay, that's fine. Yeah. I'm still within myself.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said was, he's the person who spit on me, or the gift,
yes,
was calling for the love that they didn't receive. Mm-hmm.
You heard me correctly.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I hope that hurts. That should hurt. Everybody turned to page 2. You got it, Julie? 217.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Turn to page 217. One of my favorite sentences in the whole freaking book. Because, man, does this take this right down to an awakening of what's really happening with love and fear. Check it out. Page 217.
Fear and love are the only emotions of which you are capable.
No. This is a...
Sentence 9?
This is sentence 13 on paragraph 8, if I remember right.
What?
It's been a while since we've been there. 217, paragraph 8, sentence 13.
Okay.
I mean, we could read... How much time do we have?
Go for it.
We have some time. Okay, let's start with paragraph 7 on 216. We'll just enjoy a little bit of this for people who haven't seen this page for a while. This is it. But how much do you know about this book?
You don't start here.
I've been reading it for a month.
All right, our teacher has arrived.
That means I'm on page like 50.
Wow, you're rocking.
It's really dense.
Woo, congratulations getting past. Wow. Okay. Are we up to you?
7.
Would you please put paragraph 7 for us?
Yeah. Your interpretations of your brother's needs are your interpretations of yours. By giving help, you're asking for it, and if you perceive but one need in yourself, you will be healed. For you will recognize God's answer as you want it to be, and if you want it in truth, it will be truly yours. Every appeal you answer in the name of Christ brings a remembrance of your Father closer to your awareness. For the sake of your need, then, hear every call for help as what it is, so God can answer you.
So God can answer you. This is all about you. We are talking about the other person being upset, pointing their finger at your chest and intermixing four-letter words with your name. That's what we're talking about in this moment. Next paragraph, please, number 8.
By applying the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the reactions of others more and more consistently, you will gain an increasing awareness that His criteria are equally applicable to you. For to recognize fear is not enough to escape from it, although the recognition is necessary to demonstrate the need for escape. The Holy Spirit must still translate the fear into truth.
Okay, now first I want to stop there because I just want to say recognize fear. What we mean by recognize fear is to recognize that it's a weakness and not a strength.
Okay.
All right? Well, and if somebody's angry, this is a state of fear. This is not a state of strength.
It's a pushback. It's always a pushback.
Something's breaking down over there.
Okay.
Something's breaking over there. This is not strength. When somebody's angry, even though it's loud and they're getting tall and they're waving their hands, this is not strength. This is afraid that they're going to get hurt more. Something's gone wrong over there. Okay? That's recognizing fear. Please continue.
If you were left with a fear, once you had recognized it, you would have taken a step away from reality, not towards it. Yet we have repeatedly emphasized the need to recognize fear and face it without disguise as a crucial step in the undoing of the ego.
You got to read that sentence again just for clarity.
Yet we have repeatedly emphasized the need to recognize fear and face it without disguise as a crucial step in the undoing of the ego.
Yes.
Consider how well the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the motives of others will serve you then. Mm-hmm. Having taught you to accept only loving thoughts in others and to regard everything else as an appeal for help, he has taught you that fear itself is an appeal for help. This is what recognizing fear really means. If you do not protect it, he will reinterpret it. That is the ultimate value in learning to perceive attack as a call for love. We have already learned that fear and attack are inevitably associated. If only attack produces fear, and if you see attack as the call for help that it is, the unreality of fear must dawn on you. For fear is a call for love, in unconscious recognition of what has been denied.
Beautiful, thank you. You're a great reader. Fear is a call for love, in unconscious recognition that love has been denied. I'm angry, I'm afraid, I'm yelling at you because I don't feel loved.
From you personally, or just...
I don't feel loved. Who knows where, okay. But that person's not loving and comforting and reaching out to give you a hug. Mm-hmm. No, they want to punch you.
So how do you just diffuse that without feeding into that?
Well, let's start with what the ego would do.
Laugh in their face, no.
that's great.
boxing lessons? What? Let's start with what the ego would do. The ego's first response is yell back.
Yeah.
And you get your voice louder than theirs, maybe you're right after all.
It's noisy.
But then they're going to escalate. And the attack and defense cycle gets uglier and uglier until there's a lawyer involved.
The courts.
Yeah. Or we go the other way. Course in Miracles beautifully in these sentences describes, we reinterpret. It's so important for your awakening from the ego and separation.
Holy Spirit reinterpret.
Catch fear. What actually is fear? It's a call. A call. I need love. That's what they're really saying. It's got four-letter words and your name intermixed. But you have to have the Holy Spirit translate this attack, what looks like an attack, to what it really is. Honestly, what it really is, they're not feeling love.
So you can't lose by giving.
Can't lose by giving.
If we get love back, that's great. If we get a call for help back, that's great too.
Yeah.
Because that just provides opportunity for more love.
Honesty is present now. You're being dishonest if you think that the attack is only there to harm you.
And that attack can be reinterpreted.
Yes, it can.
And that becomes an opportunity.
Now the attack becomes a call not for hate, not for fear, but for love.
So sharing love got more, getting more love.
So now when you give back love, you first get the love, and you've entered love as a solution to this person's fear. Look at, I guess we can go off this page. Everybody run right now to page 552.
Keep your finger here.
Well, I'd like to, but we're out of time. We'll come back to this another day.
Okay.
Just because, to round off this discussion, go to page 552. No, sorry, 562. 562. And look what happens when you have the Holy Spirit translate this ugliness that you were ready to fight, you're ready to escalate, but you didn't. You saw the call for love instead. You saw the vulnerability that was at, the weakness that was actually in the attack. And you said, I'm not going to make this worse. I'm going to say, wow. Hey, tell me more what's going on with you. Well, suddenly she gets to finish off, you know, and I'm listening, and she's got an audience, and you know what? The ego's going to start to de-escalate. She might even tell me what's really going on.
That first requires that you be able to say to yourself that there's nothing wrong. You know?
Yes, it does.
Wrong.
Yes, it does.
Anything wrong? you may have interpreted it that way, but if you if the person is reacting in fear,
yes,
and
yes.
It said previously that you recognize fear and face it,
yes,
you just don't react. You listen,
but you know you can't listen if you're so afraid yourself.
Yeah, right. So you have to say to yourself, "There's nothing wrong."
You have to know.
Yeah.
That you're safe.
Yeah.
Lesson 48. In lesson 240, there was nothing to fear.
Right. And that's a gift.
But that's 1,000 pages into this book. I don't think you're ready in the 50 pages to do this kind of thing.
That's a gift.
Get ready to duck.
I have health insurance. I'm okay.
And if you put some extra quarters in your purse and bring your roundhouse. But there is an awakening that occurs that you actually cannot be harmed in this world by anything ever, including your own death.
Right.
That colors everything.
Well, I think that takes a certain amount of strength, inner strength, to be able to have that presence of mind,
yes,
and the framework,
yes,
to be able to stand without reacting, without feeling like you bad or guilty or
yes,
practice
like
take
something
practice.
You did not Christ, the person's accusing yes. you of something, but you didn't. You don't accuse yourself.
Yes, Mark, what you're speaking about here is the core where we're going. It's the fruits of this work, and it becomes the solution to the poverty of existence of being in a body, knowing that there's nothing wrong. It's part of a spiritual awakening. It'll help you get out of the bed in the morning. It'll help you stave off depression. It'll help you get out of responding in a fight to just make the fight worse. All of that and more. So you're touching on a very critical gift that this book has to give and any spiritual program has to give. So absolutely not. Thank you for that, brother. But that's how serious and how beneficial what we're doing is. It really is a solution to struggling in a body. This understanding. Mm. And the workbook lessons kick right in, those first 30 lessons. Wow. Okay, so on page 562, paragraph 6, sentence 1. If what Stefan was talking about is get your Holy Spirit hat on, ears on, radio station tuned in to KHOL Holy Spirit, and then the reinterpretation happens. The attack and fear is interpreted to a call for love, which we just read, and the Course says many times in many ways is a beautiful statement that you will own as you start to get compassion for the times that you're upset. You'll understand yourself as well as the other. And then what happens? Well, 562, paragraph 6, sentence 1. Maybe this is the most beautiful sentence in the whole book. The holiest of all spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. It's an antidote. It saves the world from being your enemy. The worst thing the world can do is when somebody who just said I love you just so many hours ago says I hate you. Anything hurt more than that? But when you have your Holy Spirit with you, that's translated. That's fear that says I hate you. That's a call for love. I've never seen a sentence anywhere else in all my reading that has love and fear in the same sentence, and it actually is defining fear with love. Curing the idea that fear is real. I want to know more. I want that to be my reality. That's what we're doing. And that's heaven. That's the gift of heaven, which is understanding. understanding really that it's not strength, this fear and this attack. It's a weakness calling for love.
The fear is so real.
Yes. Yeah. The need for love is so real for them. Yes. Okay, now, let's jump back to our reading tonight on page 424. And I want to call your attention, after all this wonderful discussion, back to paragraph 20, sentence 5. Now does it make more sense? Sentence 5 says, everyone gives as he receives, but, record scratch, he must choose what it will be that he receives.
Ooh. Beautiful.
Right?
Yeah, you got I just got that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're giving, open-mindedness, right?
Yes.
Then I become that.
Yes.
I be that.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
Andrew,
that's what you receive.
Too, is like, see, like what's happening is, you're saying, is when
and you become
we have
that.
This desire to give. Yes. At that moment, yes, kind of stops.
Yes, that's right.
And so the problem we're having is we're using our body. So I see a reaction in my eyes.
Yes.
That makes time come back.
Don't let your eyes become the rulers now.
So now time doesn't stop anymore. It's
perfectly said. Watch how. Watch. You see what he did there? Mm-hmm. He stayed with the idea of giving, and he let that be the goal. The goal was giving. And then the world happens in time. But you see, if you stay with the goal of giving, it's just giving. And when you pull back, it was still giving. That's ended. But it was giving.
By stopping time. When you give, you make sure
don't
you
let
stop
time mess
don't
you
let the
up.
Don't let the body interfere.
That's it. Yes.
So this is not really talking about the other person's reaction.
Yes, that's correct.
It's talking about what you're receiving from the act of giving.
That's it. Yeah. That's why you have to decide.
To do with the other person.
Correct.
As you give, so shall you receive.
That's good. You will. You will receive as you give. Mm. And you will choose. And your life, Mark, is your thoughts. And just to put a fine point on what David W. said, keep your finger here. Turn 50 pages to the right to 476. This is one of my other favorite sentences. Just popped up. This book just says what David described. It says in a sentence. I just want to point it out to you. And look at it on the top of the page, sentence 7, before paragraph 7, the last sentence on top of the page. Do you see it? Sentence 7. Nothing so blinding as a perception of form. Why? For sight of form means understanding has been obscured and heaven is gone. Just to show you what he said in black and white.
Because spiritual is
invisible. It's invisible. Don't let the gift, the invisible gift, be taken away by a visible reaction. Whatever that reaction is, it's either, as we now know, love or a call for love. That's the whole range as of tonight.
That's the whole range.
As of tonight, if you were paying attention, there's no longer fear. Fear is no longer what you thought it was.
So like time,
yep.
We have time.
Yep.
Ego exists. The moment we stop time.
Yep.
It's gone.
It's gone.
The whole
presence
is gone.
Presence.
Yeah. Be in a moment.
Yes. Yes. We have just enough time. Paragraph 21. Are you up to bat, Bridget?
Yes.
On page 424. I'm going to finish this section. In the whole chapter.
All right.
Paragraph 21?
Yep.
You came this far because the journey was your choice, and no one undertakes to do what he believes is meaningless. What you had faith in still is faithful, and watches over you in faith so gentle yet so strong that it would lift you far beyond the veil and place the Son of God safely within the sure protection of his Father. Here is the only purpose that gives this world and the long journey through this world, whenever meaning lies in them, whatever meaning lies in them. Beyond this, they are meaningless. You and your brother stand together, still without conviction. They have a purpose. Yet it is given you to see this purpose in your holy friend and recognize it as your own.
The conversation is giving and receiving are the same. The conversation is when you see a brother out there, that brother will either be a block to your awareness of love or an invitation to your awareness of love. There is no neutral. You want to read some more about that because we have 10 minutes left? Great. Because I want to finish what we didn't finish last time. Go to is it 242?
What?
251. Go to 251 and here we go. Paragraph 5. Bridget, when you're ready. And this will be a very if we can do some of this, it'll be a very nice finish to what we've been discussing. Yes.
Paragraph 5.
Rock it.
The miracle enables you to see your brother without his past and so perceive him as born again.
Now, new girl, do you have any clue what a miracle is?
Changing perception.
Wow! Come on!
She can say.
I'm working. I'm trying.
Woo! Yes.
I missed it.
Tell them.
A miracle is a change in perception.
A change in perception.
That's huge, right? We're changing a perception of what fear is tonight. I hope everybody walks out of here thinking, wow, fear's not real. Why is it fear real, Sharon? What is fear?
A call for love.
A call for love. Who doesn't want love? Take that with you tonight. I'll make sure you do it in our closing circle. I'll make sure you do. Okay, please continue.
His errors are all past, and by perceiving him without them, you are releasing him. And since his past is yours, and you share it in him, this release, let no dark cloud out of your past obscure him from you, for truth lies only in the present, and you will find it if you seek it there. You have looked for it where it is not, and therefore have not found it. Learn then to seek it where it is, and it will dawn on eyes that see. Your past was made in anger, and if you use it to attack the present, you will not see the freedom that the present holds.
Back to your reference to time.
Yeah.
Can you get a pass? David, you ready to read?
Okay.
Number 6.
Judgment and condemnation are behind you, and unless you bring them with you, you will see that you are free of them. Look lovingly on the present, where it holds the only things that are forever true.
Now, just to put a point on this, there should be some underlines or some italics or some capital, you know, some bolding on the sentence he just read. So I'm going to read it for you with just a little bit of emphasis, and I'll have you continue. Judgment and condemnation are behind you. And unless you bring them with you, you will see that you are free of them. We found the problem, and it's you. Please continue. I've heard that
before. All healing lies within it, because it's
continuity.
Real. It extends to all aspects of the sonship at the same time, and thus enables them to reach each other. The present is before time was, and will be when time is no more. In it are all things that are eternal, and they are one. Their continuity is timeless, and their communication is unbroken, for they are not separated by the past. Only the past can separate, and it is nowhere.
Mm-hmm. 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 Stephen? Stephen?
The present offers you your brothers in the light that would unite you with them and free you from the past.
Mm-hmm.
Would you then hold the past against them? For if you do, you are choosing to remain in the darkness that is not there, and refusing to accept the light that is offered you. For the light is perfect vision. For the light of perfect vision is freely given, as it is freely received, and can be accepted only without limit. In this one, still dimension of time that does not change.
The present.
And where there is no sight of what you were, you look at Christ and call his witnesses to shine on you because you called them forth. And they will not deny the truth in you because you looked for it in them and found it there.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time of salvation, for now is the release from time. Reach out to all your brothers and touch them with the touch of Christ. In timeless union with them is your continuity, unbroken because it is wholly shared. God's guiltless Son is the only light. There is no darkness in him anywhere, for he is whole. Call all your brothers to witness to his wholeness, as I am calling you to join with me. Each voice has a part in the song of redemption, the hymn of gladness and thanksgiving for the light to the Creator of light. The holy light that shines forth from God's Son is the witness that his light is of his Father.
Okay, those last two sentences, each voice, that includes yours, and includes the ass holy one that you're dealing with. Each voice has a part in the song of redemption. And when we see redemption, you can also think of resurrection. Crucifixion, taking it down. Resurrection, coming back to life. Okay? Redemption, the hymn of gladness and the thanksgiving for the light to the Creator of light. Receiving the gift, giving the gift. The Holy Spirit is your translator in these dark moments to have this sentence make any sense, and that there's actually light in the darkness of a difficult situation. The holy light that shines forth from God's Son is the witness that his light is of his Father. Okay. All right, let's have a circle. Yeah, right.
Timeless universe.
Yes.
This past and future started with a big bang. Because it's exciting.
Nine Side Out makes it
a limit. It's got no. It's mm-hmm. only so much mm-hmm. because it's accelerating.
Yep.
Which means I can see it as nothing. Mm-hmm. And as we look,
as we awaken to this. Yes. Take a deep breath. There's a big miracle upon us tonight. There's a shift in perception upon us tonight. If you can take this one thought with you from this room and apply it to the rest of your life, you will have a different world waiting for you than you would otherwise. And it's this. Fear is a call for love. In an unconscious, I'll give them that much, they don't know what they're doing. It's pretty unconscious. Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do. An unconscious recognition of the love that's been denied in their mind. That's what's going on. That's what's really going on. Fear. Attack. It's a call for love. Nothing to do with you. So everybody, take that with you for the rest of your life. And when you're afraid, you know what you're doing? You're calling for love. That's pretty innocent. Yeah, it's okay. That's the right direction. Call for that love. Thank you, thank you. Amen. And Happy New Year.
Yes. Yeah.
Happy New Year.
That was cool.
What is
this?
Without these people,
but they are now. We know what they did.
Yeah,
we got that out there.
That's the point.